Why have I asked my electrician I found on Angie.com to bury my pet hamster Nibbles in our yard for me? Because I was so moved by how carefully he buried my electrical wires, I knew I could trust him to bury my sweet Nibbles after his untimely end. Huh, Nibbles. Gone too soon. May he scurry in peace.
Hey, sorry about your pet, but I just wire stuff.
Nibbles would have loved you like a brother.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Overtime, moss, mold, and mildew stains cover your home, and cleaning them is too much work. You need Wet and Forget, the easy bleach-free way to clean tough outdoor stains. For decks, patios, and cushions, use Wet and Forget outdoor spaces. No scrubbing, no rinsing. Just apply and let it do the work for you over time. Got a bigger job? Reach second-story siding and roofs with Outdoor Max. Up to a 30-foot reach and two times the coverage. Get Wet and Forget at Home Depot, Lowe's, and Walmart.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. Check out their new luxury listing at 6551 Brownlee at tjandersonhomes.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Junie Riddle. Nick Kieser here with you on this Thursday morning. Joe Rex Road out today. He is in East Lansing, Michigan, moving in his son to college. So, proud dad, Joe Rex Road. He'll be back tomorrow on the program.
You know, as many times as I had to move in college, I feel like college moves are the worst.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know what the dorm situation is like at Michigan State, but at Western, and Nick can attest to this. I don't know how many times that you.
No, I can't.
I don't know how many times. Oh yeah, because you didn't.
He's
you never
too good
in
for the
dorm
life.
But for me, I was always the guy that wanted to help out. We have a dorm that is 26 floors high.
Oh, yeah.
You ever help people move into PFT
I
at
did.
Western?
That's not fun.
My Lord.
And it's full of women. No, thanks.
I'm the guy that wants to help out. I'm not the guy that wants to help out moving. I'll help you do something else. I'm not helping you move.
Yeah, I don't know if you heard Robbie's story yesterday, but apparently he had a snafu with a couch that was...
almost broke my hand. It's fun.
That's awful.
Yeah, it's cool.
Awful.
Really enjoyed it. Really good stuff. We'll have Charles Robinson coming up from 8 to 8:30 today on the program. Get his thoughts on all things NFL. Lots to get into, which are also looking forward to that coming up next hour. Right now, talking Titans, taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. So, Junie, obviously, most people, as you look at the AFC South this year, Houston is not expected to be very good. They got a rookie quarterback with C.J. Stroud. The Colts have already named Anthony Richardson as their starter, and he's going to be the starting quarterback this year in Indianapolis. You have the Jonathan Taylor situation going on. It's a mess in Indy right now. So I think there's reasonable confidence that we can have that Houston and Indy probably not going to be factors in the AFC South this year. Now, we'll see what that looks like as they move forward and how much progress Stroud and Richardson make and all those things. But this year doesn't look like they're going to be a factor. So on paper, it comes down to Jacksonville and Tennessee heading into this year. The Jags are the favorite. I'm looking at FanDuel Sportsbook right now. They're at minus 155 odds to win the division. Titans are at plus 310. So relatively heavy favorites the Jags are heading into this year to win the AFC South. We're getting close to, you know, NFL prediction season over the next couple of weeks before the regular season. And my guess is whether it's Athletic or ESPN or CBS or whatever outlet you look at, there's going to be a whole lot of people picking Jacksonville to win the division. And I get it. Jacksonville won the division last year. Trevor Lawrence entering his third year. I think Doug Peterson's a good coach. Got Calvin Ridley coming in this year at wide receiver. So there's a lot that Jacksonville, I think, has going for them. Now, they do have a first-place schedule this year, so we'll see what that looks like. But as you compare the two teams, as you compare what the Titans look like at full strength, and hopefully Treylon Burks is back soon and all those things, and you look at Jacksonville and what they have on paper, how big is the gap? Do you think there's a gap? How much confidence do you have that the Titans can take down Jacksonville this year and win the AFC South for the third time in the past four seasons?
So I'm glad you asked this because on the weekend show with Nick, you know, we went down and broke this down about a month or so ago, and this is right before the DeAndre Hopkins acquisition, and we were very confident that they would bring him in. So we kind of tied that into the mix. And to my surprise, because I had been higher on Jacksonville than a lot of people here in town have been, it was much closer once we broke it down from each position group. I think the one difference is, and that gives Jacksonville the edge, is that they're a little bit more solidified in the key positions on a football team. When you look at the guys that are getting paid, we're looking at quarterbacks, number one wide receivers, edge rushers. Those guys are going to be your top premier guys. And in all those positions that are key to a football team, I feel like the Jacksonville Jaguars have better players in those areas. So I'm looking at Trevor Lawrence here, number one. I love what he did down the stretch last year. His stats were better than Patrick Mahomes the second half of the season. 15-1 touchdown to interception ratio. You know, he's finally got an adult in the room at head coach. I just kind of throw away that first year with Urban Meyer. Now that he has Doug Peterson, a guy that we've seen have some significant success, a former NFL quarterback himself. You're talking about he went to a Super Bowl and won with Nick Foles. What can he do with one of the most talented quarterbacks coming out of college that we've seen in the last 10 years? So I expect Trevor Lawrence to take that big jump, and I think that's why so many people are bullish on them. But when you look at the rest of the roster, I mean, it is really close. I mean, now with DeAndre Hopkins, you can say their wide receiving core is very similar and around the same talent level. Both of these teams have offensive lines that are in the bottom third of the league when it comes down to rankings in that area. And then when you look at defense, the Titans definitely have an edge there. So I think it really does come down to left tackle, quarterback, and I kind of like the Jaguars pairing at the edge rusher position just a little bit better than I do for the Titans.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. I think certainly Calvin Ridley coming in is a guy who the last time we saw was a really productive player. Now, it's been a while since we've seen him. He was hurt at the end of the season a couple years ago, and then last year he's out the whole year because of the suspension due to gambling. So it's been a while since we've seen Calvin Ridley play football. Now, the reports out of Jags camp are that he looks good, and he looks like Calvin Ridley, and looks like he's going to be a good player for Jacksonville this year. So I feel good about him. You know, obviously Evan Engram at the end of last year looked really good for Jacksonville. And look, Trevor Lawrence, and this is to me where I think sometimes we lose sight of this. Everybody talks about, like, well, last year the Titans had to lose 7 in a row, and the Jags had to go on this miracle run to even make it a race in the division. And that's true. But what you pointed out, I think, was the big reason for that. Trevor Lawrence figured things out halfway through the year last year, and I still view him as an ascending player in the league. Like, I think he's getting better, and I think he's going to have another really good year this year. It is interesting to me, you know, and I know, look, it's a FanDuel Sportsbook win total projection, so it doesn't mean much at the end of the day in terms of how things actually play out at the end of the year. I did find it interesting that even after the Titans had added DeAndre Hopkins, you know, before the win total that FanDuel had was 7.5 for the Titans, it didn't change after they added DeAndre Hopkins, which I found pretty interesting because, you know, from the conversation of DeAndre Hopkins around the league when New England was interested and when you were trying to figure out, okay, what could Kansas City make a play for DeAndre Hopkins? Could he end up in Buffalo? Like, it was a big deal. It was a big talking point around the NFL. And then he signs with the Titans, and it doesn't change the win total for the Titans one bit when DeAndre Hopkins signed. I found that pretty interesting with FanDuel.
I think people are just scared because of the last 2 years with the Titans' injury history record. You know, the one thing about this team that I just cannot get over is the lack of depth. And you're talking about if they have injuries again this year like they've had the past two, it's going to be a cause for concern. Now, I think just reasonably thinking here, they're going to be a little bit healthier than they have been in years past. I mean, they're due for a lucky, healthy season. But yeah, to your point, 7.5 wins, they're easily going to get over that. Even before DeAndre Hopkins, I had them going at least 8 wins. I thought that's where they were going to be at. But now with DeAndre Hopkins, this team is right there on the edge, borderline going to be in that playoff conversation. And with Jacksonville and how they are looking, I'm not outside of their front seven. Their secondary is a huge weakness. Can the Titans expose that with DeAndre Hopkins in this passing game? Can they start lighting it up on that weakness with Jacksonville? That's the big question here. And for a team that gave up the most passing yards last year, I'm expecting this secondary to also make a huge jump, and that's what they're going to have to do. They're going to have to get after Trevor Lawrence. They didn't in that first game in Nissan Stadium where he just went absolutely crazy, throwing for 300 yards, had a couple touchdowns, had one of his better games. So this defense is going to have to force turnovers, and they're going to have to beat Jacksonville at least once this year.
They cannot
afford a sweep like they did last year.
Well, I got a texture that says Trevor Lawrence is just a young, inexperienced version of Tannehill. I don't agree with that. I think Trevor Lawrence, his upside is a much higher upside than Tannehill has had throughout his career. I'm a big believer in Trevor Lawrence. I think he's going to be really good. You know, I'm not saying that there's a huge gap right now between Tannehill and Trevor Lawrence, but I think, like I said, Trevor Lawrence is an ascending player and he's getting better. And if Trevor Lawrence looks like he looked the second half of last year, I mean, you're going to be having an MVP caliber season.
You're talking about the first half of last year. I mean, he did not look good at all. It looked like he was, you know, getting back on where he was his rookie year, and he completely flipped the script. I mean, 25 touchdowns, 4,000 yards, and you really only play well half of the season. Another year with Doug Peterson, another full offseason to really take that in. From what I've seen video-wise from Calvin Ridley, it doesn't look like he's missing much of a beat. So you're talking about adding him, another year with Christian Kirk. Evan Ingram had a breakout year last year with this team. Can he have another big year? These are a lot of things that we're expecting. So I can only, based off of the trajectory of where this team finished last year, I can only expect that they're just going to get a little bit better, right?
I mean, you would think so. Now, having said that, there are two things about the Titans that make me think that they have a legitimate chance to take Jacksonville down and win the division. We'll get into that coming up next. Take your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025. What do you make of the Titans' chances to take down Jacksonville and win the AFC South for the third time in the past four seasons? 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball today at 6:05 on 94.9 The Fan. The Sounds taking on the Gwinnett Stripers, AAA affiliate of the Atlanta Braves. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza Company, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. Robbie Stanley alongside Junie Riddle, Nick Keyser here with you. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook, live from our 102.5 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Discussing the AFC South, how much confidence do we have in the Titans to challenge Jacksonville for the division this year? Taking your thoughts on that, 615-737-1025. So I do like a lot of things about Jacksonville. I think Doug Peterson's a good coach. I think Trevor Lawrence is going to have a big year. I think that they've improved heading into this year, and we'll see how they handle a schedule that is going to be more difficult for Jacksonville than it was a season ago. There are two things about the Titans, though, that I like and that I think give them a fighting chance this year beyond the obvious of, you know, Hopkins coming in and, you know, we'll see what Burks can do and Derrick Henry and all those things. I think the Titans defense has a chance to be special. I think it has a chance to be one of the top defensive units in the league. Harold Landry coming back, obviously Arden Key coming over from Jacksonville, adding to the pass rush there. I think his secondary looks better so far during the preseason. And Vrabel as head coach. Like, those two things, Vrabel, with everything, and look, Vrabel's not perfect. There are things that he does sometimes that not a huge fan of. We've talked about kicking. You know, I place a lot of the blame of that at the feet of Vrabel. Also, I think we've seen enough out of Vrabel to know that he's a pretty darn good coach at this point. And, you know, he's taken some injury-riddled teams the last couple of years and has been really competitive. And I think, you know, from a game-planning standpoint and from – making decisions on the field in real time, he's really good. So I think Vrabel is an excellent head coach. I think the Titans have a chance to have a really good defense. And look, you look at Jacksonville's schedule. They got to play San Francisco. The Titans don't. They got to play Kansas City. The Titans don't. They got to play Buffalo. The Titans don't. I mean, those things could end up being the difference in the division right there. So I think the Titans' defense is going to be good enough, provided health, which is the caveat to all these discussions. But I think the Titans is going to be good enough where they're going to hang around in mostly every game this year. Can the offense take the step? Can it get from 17 points a game last year to 23, 24? Nobody's asking for 30 or 31 like they were in 2020. But can you get to – a middle-of-the-road offense this year with a defense, I think, that has a chance to be pretty good. If you can do that, I think you're going to be right there at the end of things with Jacksonville in the division. And those are two things that I feel really good about with the Titans heading into this year.
So can I say one thing about that argument that I disagree with?
Sure.
I think the first-place schedule is a bit overrated. Because every single year, there are different teams that win the division. Like, you brought up San Francisco. Well, the Titans are going to have to play Seattle. And for me, I think Seattle and San Francisco are going to be a lot closer than what people think. You brought up the Bills. Now they have to play them. Well, the Titans have to play the Dolphins.
Yep.
I kind of think the Dolphins have a better roster than the Buffalo Bills do this year. And again,
oh, I disagree with that.
Overall?
Yes, overall.
Have you seen what they put together this offseason?
I've seen it. It's not better than Buffalo.
I honestly would strongly disagree with that. I think the Dolphins are going to be really good. Their front seven in particular is going to be really good. So
you seen Buffalo's front seven?
Well,
pretty darn good.
Well, Von Miller's not going to be around, so that all depends.
And I think front seven in football last year.
I know, and I think Miami has a chance to be one of the better front sevens this year. So again, it's just we're going to see new teams emerge, and we never really know
who's
going to be, you know, the best. And
it's easy to sit here and like, play paper schedule today because it never plays out that way, right?
Yeah,
it's always different.
Somebody gets hurt, right. Like Mahomes misses one game, and that's the one game against Jack. Like you just,
for sure,
you never know. So I always think that that's a bit overrated. But you know, a big thing about this, and we've been talking about this, you know, all week long, is the kicking situation. And what happened earlier this offseason was Denver let go of Brandon McManus.
Yeah.
And who picks him up?
Jacksonville.
Jacksonville does.
Yep.
And Brandon McManus is a much better kicker than I feel like anybody the Titans can get at this point in time. And it's like when it comes down to the final minute of the game, the two-minute drill, Tannehill puts him in position. Is the kicker going to come through or not to seal away a victory? I think there's going to be at least one or two instances this year that the Titans should have a victory. They should have it in hand. And if they just had an average to a slightly above average kicker, they're getting that win. And I think that that is also something that can hold them back when you're talking about, you know, picking hairs, trying to see who's going to be better. Like I said,
people are going to melt down if the Titans come to if a game comes down this year to a kick and the Titans miss it. People are just going to have a meltdown.
I mean, I don't know how you can have a meltdown when this has been going on for the last 5 years.
I know.
And they still haven't gotten it figured out. And so when Jacksonville is being assertive and they're going out and get guys, they're improving their team, I feel like they have the better O-line. Receiving core, I think you can argue with the addition of DeAndre Hopkins that maybe the Titans might be a little bit better, but I would take the Jaguars' depth. The big thing about this, Robbie, one matchup that I just can't get over is they got Josh Allen, and then Trayvon Walker is going to be going into year two, the number one overall pick in 2022. How is that matchup going to look against the Titans' tackles? I feel like when they do end up matching up against one another, that could be a huge X factor where Tannehill's not going to have a lot of time to be able to throw the ball because they got really talented guys going after the quarterback.
I agree. Now, I also think Jeffrey Simmons, Denico Autry, Arden Key, Harold Landry is going to give that offensive line some problems in Jacksonville too. Like I think the roster is a lot closer than people around the league want to give it credit for. Like I think when you compare the two teams, people act like there's some seismic gap between Jacksonville and the Titans, and I just don't see that. Now I would probably give the edge to Jacksonville slightly. But I don't think that there's like some seismic gap between the Jags roster and the Titans roster. So much of this comes down to what is Trevor Lawrence this year. Because if Trevor Lawrence is what some people think he's going to be this year, and we had Michael DiRocco on a few weeks ago talking about this, like the opportunity for maybe Trevor Lawrence to insert himself into the MVP conversation this year. Well, if he does that, then I think that's going to be the difference in the division is Trevor Lawrence playing that well. I mean, we know this. The quarterback is so important when it comes down to this. And I think Tannehill, if the offensive line can protect for him this year, has a chance to be good. You're not going to see Tannehill in MVP conversations this year. And I'm not convinced you're going to see Trevor Lawrence in that either, but I do think that there is a possibility for that. I mean, look, you know, say what you will about Christian Kirk. He's overpaid. He's still a good player. Zay Jones had a good year last year. You got Calvin Ridley. If he's your number one guy, like, I'm with you. DeAndre Hopkins makes that conversation way closer with the Titans and their receiving core, but I'll take the depth of Jacksonville at wide receiver for sure.
Well, it just worries me because outside of DeAndre Hopkins, you're really relying on a bunch of year two guys to have that breakout.
Yep.
And not all of them are going to do it. I mean, I get it. There's a lot of hype, and I'm just as hype about Chig as everybody else is. But, you know, those two drops in the Minnesota Vikings game, like,
you got to catch the ball.
You got to catch the ball, dude. And is he going to break out the way that we think he is? Is he going to be able to stay on the field in blocking situations? Is he going to be, because that was a huge telltale last year. He could not run block. So there's got to be a lot of things. Can Treylon Burks stay on the field? Already dealing with an injury now. And I get it. It's not his fault. But we've seen him out on numerous occasions already.
Sure.
And he's got to show that he can be sustainable and stay on the field. So, and again, you know, staying on the field is one thing, but also producing on the field. We saw a lot of inconsistencies last year, even when he was in the game. One game he would have a great game. The Green Bay game comes to mind.
Yep.
And then another game he would be nearly non-existent. We need to see a level of consistency from these guys, and if this offense is going to reach its full potential, these year two guys have to take a big jump, and I just don't think you can put all your eggs into that basket.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Take more of your thoughts on the Titans. Got more of your thoughts to get to on our text line. We'll do that next. Also, take a look around the NFL with some interesting news at a certain quarterback spot yesterday. We'll get into that coming up. Also, another chance for you to enter the Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League coming up next as well. All that ahead. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Junior Riddle, Nick Kieser here with you on this Thursday morning. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Your favorite game, Silly Underdog Picks, is back. Make your picks today at thegamenational.com or the 102.5 The Game app as week zero of college football kicks off this weekend. So the Underdog Picks presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket and Superbook Sports. It's that time of the day, time for another opportunity for you to enter the Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League. It's a highly competitive league, highly sought after league, as Nick Kieser is currently learning. Nick, how excited are you for the Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League, your first edition?
Yeah, you know what? I'm pretty ecstatic. I started playing fantasy football when I was about 12, I want to say, with about 10 of my friends, and now I get to do it with Robbie and Joe and a select few of our listeners.
That's
so
right.
Be aware of whenever we are asking our questions, and we've got a good one this morning.
We do
Robbie.
Have a good one this morning. We've given away three spots so far this week. We have two more, one today, one tomorrow, and then we'll have three next week. So a total of five more opportunities remaining for you to join the Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League. And you have to answer the question on the text line. So get your texting fingers ready. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Today's trivia question is this. In what round and by what team was Mike Vrabel drafted? In what round and by what team was Mike Vrabel drafted as a player? If you know the answer, hit up our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. The first person to correctly guess the answer will win a spot in the Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League. In what round and by what team was Mike Vrabel drafted as a player? I'm looking forward to seeing who gets this right.
It shouldn't be too hard.
Although I have a feeling we're going to get
a significant
amount of incorrect answers.
It is slightly a trick question. That might be a bit of a hint.
Slightly.
Some of these answers are bad.
I'm telling you.
Oh man. Oh, you were right.
I'm telling you. Sometimes more than just a hat rack up here for Robbie Stanley. A little brain power working. We'll see what Nick Kieser keeping tally of that. We'll see who ends up getting the answer correct first. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Got a texter talking about the Titans and the Jags, saying that everybody is sleeping on the Titans this year and that the Titans are going to win the division and people are going to be stunned. Stunned, the word he uses, at the end of the year.
I wouldn't be stunned.
I wouldn't be stunned either if they win the division.
I mean, I can definitely see it. I mean, if Derrick Henry has a really good year, which we all expect him to still be Derrick Henry, if the offensive line kind of shapes out a little bit better than what we're expecting, if they're just, you know, middle of the pack, maybe even slightly below average, just better than last year, and this team just gets a bit of luck with health, and they're
which
not
you feel like they have to be due
they
some.
They have to be. I mean, you lead the NFL 2 years in a row. You set a record 2 years ago, and then last year you really weren't that far behind it.
No.
You're due. Come on. Like, I can't deal with another injury-riddled year of this team. They're bound to have a healthy year. So if that is the case, I think at full strength, I think they have an excellent chance to beat the Jaguars. Again, just because of the quarterback, I have gone on record numerous times saying I'm not a huge believer in Ryan Tannehill. But outside of that, I think you have a legitimate shot. If you can disrupt Trevor Lawrence and this defensive line the way that it's been playing, man, I'm telling you what, they do have a shot. Only edge is the quarterback. That's it. I mean, that's really it. With all the additions that they've made, their starting lineup is going to be in games with just about anybody in the AFC, just with how well they're coached, their defense, running the ball, playing keep away, and then just the DeAndre Hopkins addition. That's what really made me believe that this team could actually compete for a playoff spot.
Josh on the text line says, the Titans are like the Rebellion. Nobody's taking them seriously, and secretly they have the plans to the Death Star. Rebellions were built on hope. Nice Star Wars reference. It's good stuff.
It is a great Star Wars
way to
reference.
Go, Josh. Appreciate you. How about this around the league, real quick, and we'll get into more league topics with Charles Robinson coming up at 8 o'clock, so looking forward to that. San Francisco yesterday naming Sam Darnold the number two quarterback. So Brock Purdy is obviously the starter in San Francisco coming off the injury. Sam Darnold now the number two quarterback, and that puts Trey Lance at the moment at number three. And what does his future look like? Is somebody going to trade for Trey Lance? Are they going to end up cutting Trey Lance at some point? But Brock Purdy, the starting quarterback, Sam Darnold, number two, and Trey Lance at number three. I don't think it's necessarily a huge shock that he's number three based on the decision to bring in Darnold in the first place by San Francisco, but now you're looking around. I mean, the draft pick, the move up to go get him, the capital that it cost San Francisco to do it, and that basically at the end of this thing, Junie, he's going to end up having started one regular season game for you, gets hurt in the game, and that's going to be it for the Trey Lance experience in San Francisco.
So, I mean, the writing was on the wall when they went out and got Sam Darnold.
For sure.
I mean, you could already tell that was the direction that they were going to be going. But I have a bit of a different opinion on this.
Okay.
I think the 49ers ruined this kid. I really do. And here's why. You know, the whole first year, his rookie year, he was behind Jimmy Garoppolo. They were like, we're going to sit him. He needs to be refined. He needs to go. And I was totally for that. The following year, I didn't feel like he necessarily earned the starting role. I felt like, okay, we invested all of this draft capital to trade up to the number three overall pick to go and get this guy. He sat last year. Everybody's waiting on him. They want him. You know, he's the new hot piece that every 49ers fan wants to see get into the mix. And I think they put him in a little bit too early. Also, when he was in college, you got to think, in 2019, he had like 26 touchdowns, something like that, and zero interceptions. Following year, he didn't even get to play, you know, because of
right.
COVID. Like, North Dakota State didn't even have a season outside of one game that they gave him just to get some reps. So you're talking about a guy that didn't get a lot of, like, playing experience coming in. I think they threw him in the mix too early. And then he gets hurt, and everybody's saying, well, he had ample amount of opportunity. When you're the backup and you're considered a project, and then once you get the starting role and you get injured in the second game of the season – that's not a lot of opportunity. So I just feel that with the moves the 49ers have made, I think Trey Lance plays at his best when his confidence level is up. And I think the 49ers have wrecked this kid's confidence. And I don't know how he comes back from this. I truly believe that. I think he has all the talent in the world. But with the decisions that they have made, I think have ruined him.
I would love to see who's going to end up taking a chance. Like, he's going to end up somewhere else at some point, be that this year, be that next year, because, I mean, it's clear that San Francisco is going with Brock Purdy. So, I mean, we'll see how Purdy plays this year. You know, obviously he looked really good last year before the injury. We'll see what that looks like this year in that offense with Kyle Shanahan, who I think is a really good offensive mind. Look, and I liked what I saw from Purdy last year. But will somebody take a chance on Trey Lance? Look, if you end up trading for him at this point, it's not going to cost you a ton. I mean, you're talking about a third-string quarterback right now and somebody that San Francisco just doesn't have a lot of leverage on in the trade market. So it's not going to cost a ton to go get Trey Lance if you're a team out there willing to, you know, take a risk on him at this point. I would love to see where he ends up And does he ever get an actual opportunity to get on the field and play some meaningful football again in this league? You know, Charles Robinson, I'm looking forward to asking him about this and getting his perspective on that. You know, he's talked about the idea of going somewhere where there's an established veteran in place, where there's no pressure on Lance to play, give him some time to learn the system, and then maybe when he's ready after that, see what it looks like on the field. I think Minnesota has the team he's thrown out. You got Kirk Cousins. There's no pressure on Trey Lance to play right now. Maybe a year or two down the road, you see what he looks like. I don't know. I just – obviously, there's some ability there, and I wonder how many teams are going to be interested in taking that risk.
And I think that would be the perfect fit because they have their starting quarterback. You know, their backup looked really well in this last preseason game from what I watched against the Titans. I feel like he's serviceable. So there's no, like, push for him to play this year. If he were to go to Minnesota, you know, that's the area that he's from. And I feel like with what Minnesota has going on offensively, it would be a good fit for him to kind of go back home, feel a little bit more comfortable. I would really like that. But I was a believer in Trey Lance. I really was. And I just think the whole situation with him and how things went down, I think it was all just very, very unfortunate. And for me, I think a kid with a big arm, he's athletic. I think once he gets that confidence level up, I think he'll have an opportunity. But something that Diana Russini came out and tweeted yesterday was talking about the Titans and how Rand Carthon, being a part of the front office that drafted him, traded up to go get him, wasn't interested in trading for him when those talks were going on.
Yep.
Throughout the summer. So, I mean, obviously he kind of knew that situation and he didn't want any part of it. So that is something that's also telling about Trey Lance's future. But the kid's talented enough to get a different opportunity. And I think if a coaching staff genuinely believes in him and plays the cards right a little bit better than what San Francisco did, it wouldn't surprise me if he came out and had a bit of a better run with getting a better opportunity and some better luck.
Nick, do we have a winner in the latest edition of the Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football Trivia Question?
Yeah, the very first one I could possibly find among your 80,000 text messages was Dylan. So, Dylan, you'll be joining us at Twin Peaks. We'll stay in touch, and we'll figure out when that draft and when the time is for it. So, thank
very
you
nice.
So much for chiming in on Mike Vrabel. Our text line answer was Mike Vrabel was drafted in the third round by the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yes, the Pittsburgh. We had a lot of guesses for the Patriots, and I knew we would because obviously he is most famous for playing with the Patriots and winning Super Bowls with Tom Brady and all those things, but was actually drafted by Pittsburgh, ended up in New England, eventually was traded to Kansas City. That was the course of Mike Vrabel's career there.
Yep.
Drafted by Pittsburgh, third round, back in 97.
Junior
Steelers.
Man, they dropped the ball.
The formative year of Vrabel.
They genuinely dropped the ball. And I mean, that's when Blitzberg was at its height, so it was hard to get in the mix as an edge rusher on those teams. But Mike Vrabel going to the New England Patriots only bit the Steelers in the butt after that because they just absolutely demoralized the Steelers every single year after that. So.
Tough one there. 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it's time for the Rob Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. You can check it out every morning at 745 here on the program. We will do that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
Don't make me angry.
Sometimes you have to tell someone to pound sand.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
This is the Rob Rant.
Now
on Robbie and Rex Road.
It is that time of the day, time for the Rob Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. You can check it out every morning at 745, either the Rob Rant or the Rex Rant. Nick Kieser, way too nice of a person to have rants all that often, although apparently you did have one while I was gone.
I did.
What do we call it?
He got ripped for it, too.
I did, but I also defended my Gen Z or my Gen X, whatever.
I was with you.
Part of it.
I was with you. Because
anywho.
He said,
yes.
Anywho.
No, I was more or less frustrated with one little situation that came up about ordering groceries, but it's okay.
Yes.
That's all right.
What are your thoughts on ordering groceries, Robbie? Do you ever take advantage of the luxury?
I believe I've done it a couple of times, but usually I go into the grocery store with no plan whatsoever, and I look around and I say, oh, yeah, that looks good. We'll do that. That's usually what, that's how my grocery shopping works.
Oh, Lord.
Probably needs to change now that I have, you know, a child.
But stop it.
Usually I walk in, I say, huh, that looks great. I'll put it in the cart. Let's go.
Well, Nick made a rookie mistake by trying to do that at Kroger rather than...
No, so I did do it at Kroger. The only problem was there was just no one on staff there, so it really wasn't the system's fault ordering anything.
Should have come with a warning.
Look, and I usually go in, and I have no problem whatsoever. I've worked in retail. I've worked at a grocery store. I know where things are. But look, the convenience of someone ordering it and telling me, hey, can you go pick it up for us? I'm like, yeah, absolutely. But then I have to wait 2 whole hours, pretty much,
quick
over
story.
The course of 2 days. So anyway, there you go.
During COVID, I worked at a establishment doing groceries for 1 day.
Okay.
Where you, like, I was the online order guy. So I just filled
Walmart.
Orders. Yeah, that's exactly where it was. And the entire, like, staff, like, walked out of there. So it was just me. Just me filling all the orders. There's people like out in the parking lot just honking their horns, yelling at me. And I'm like, guys, I'm literally the only person in this room. Like, I'm the only person, and there's 25 of you in the parking lot right now.
So how many hours did it take you to fulfill any of the orders?
I mean, I was there for, it was an 8-hour shift, but the whole time. Like, there were people there half the day, but I would say, and not all of them just left to, like, quit the job. They just, like, went on, you know, some 2-hour lunch break that apparently I wasn't privy to.
Some sort of sabbatical, just going out to smoke and doing whatever they please.
Yeah. So I had enough of that. I was there for 1 day.
That's nice.
So that's how long I made it.
It's well done, Robbie.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it. All right. My rant for the day is pretty simple. And I say this with a lot of love in my heart because I enjoy Titans fans, our listeners. I enjoy how excited people are for preseason football, all these things. I think we got to stop freaking out about the quarterback not playing in the preseason. It's really not that big a deal. And I understand that Patrick Mahomes has played a few drives in the preseason and that Aaron Rodgers coming up this weekend is apparently starting for New York. And I'm sure he'll be out there for one series, maybe two, to get some work in. I really could not care less if Ryan Tannehill plays one snap in the preseason or not. Like, let's play this out. So let's say that Tannehill plays Friday, which, by the way, he might play tomorrow. They didn't shut it down, and Tannehill brought it up. And, you know, Vrabel, even though I don't think he'll do it, did say it was a possibility. So maybe this is all a moot point, and Tannehill plays tomorrow, and everybody's happy at that point. But let's play it out and say that he plays. What's he going to play? One series? Maybe two? Maybe. Like, that's probably the max at what you're looking at with Ryan Tannehill, right? So you're talking 3 passes, 4 passes? What difference do you think that makes at the end of the day in the regular season? I would argue 0. So I don't know why Ryan Tannehill is like the poster child around here of people who should play in the preseason. And we went through the numbers the other day. You know, Ryan Tannehill last year against New York didn't play in the preseason. First game he was 20 of 33 for like 262 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks. Like, I don't think not playing in the preseason caused Ryan Tannehill to come out and be slow and sluggish last year. They lost the game last year because they couldn't tackle Saquon Barkley in the second half, and their field goal kicker missed a kick. Like, that's why they lost. It wasn't because Ryan Tannehill wasn't good. He had like a 65% completion percentage and threw for 262 yards and 2 touchdowns and no picks. So, like, I understand the idea of you look around, you want your team to be sharp to begin the season. But Ryan Tannehill, to me, getting in a lot of work in practices. He had the joint practice last week against Minnesota. Apparently he and Hopkins look really good together right now out at camp. Like, I guess I don't really get why people care so much whether or not Ryan Tannehill plays one series in a preseason game. It's kind of boggling my mind.
I just have a feeling that when they changed the scheduling of the NFL and they went up to 17 games, took a preseason game away, I think the philosophy of preseason changed a little bit. And I've been seeing a lot of quarterbacks get in this preseason. I would say majority of NFL teams have put their complete starting lineup out there.
Which has been different because they didn't do that last year. It's been a little bit different.
It's been a change. And for me, I would like to personally see Tannehill get out there. I just think it's different. You know, build a little bit of callus. Take that hit. You're not getting the hits in practice. It's not live action. The pressure of actually, you know, getting blindsided by a defender while trying to get a ball off is not prevalent in practice because he's not getting touched. So I just think maybe getting live action, getting out there, getting in a little bit of a rhythm is going to help him out. I'm a proponent of people playing in the preseason. I would like it if he did. I think with all the uncertainty with the offensive line, it would be good to go out there and just see him get it done. You know, Malik has.
That's exactly why you don't play him, though, is the uncertainty of the offensive line. Like, I don't think – like, the risk and the reward – like, what's the reward for him playing – in the preseason for a drive or two.
To just get a feel, though.
Yeah, but it's a really – like, it's a drive. Like, what's the reward in that? Whereas if you get him out there and a lineman rolls up on his knee and he's tweaked his knee and he's out for 6 weeks, like, to me, like, the risk-reward of it just doesn't make any sense if you're the Titans.
I mean, I understand that. But, I mean, what's going to be the risk and reward if he goes out there, doesn't have a feel for how the offensive line is going to protect him? You know, Willis has had to make a lot of moves with his legs to avoid pressure. Like,
sure.
Tannehill isn't going to move around like Willis is. I know he's capable of doing it, but not to that certain level. So I personally want him to go out there and just get a feel because I would rather him not go up against some of these edge rushers that he's going to start the season against, you know, unprepared of what to expect. I just like him to go out there, build a little bit of callus, get a feel for some of his receivers and some live action going at it. You know, they were looking forward to doing this. I thought this Patriots team was going to be a litmus test to see where this offense was because this Patriots defense finished in the top 10 of overall defenses last year. So it's going to be a good gauge to see where they are. And with not having the joint practices, I would really like to see him get out there for at least a series or two. For me, is it the end-all, be-all? No, it's not, but I would still like to see it. Ever since COVID has hit, and there was no preseason in the 2020 year, Vrabel played Marcus Mariota and Tannehill in 19. But ever since that gap of COVID, they haven't played, and they've come out slow starting as a team. Is it all on Tannehill? No, but can it help? I sure think it does.
Yeah, like, you know, look, I mean, if he comes out and plays Friday, like, I'm not going to freak out. I mean, cool. It's good to see him out there in the preseason. Like, but it's difficult for me to get to, like, the people who correlate, like, the Titans losing the Arizona game to Ryan Tannehill not playing in the preseason, or the Titans losing the Giants game last year to Ryan Tannehill not playing in the preseason. Like, they lost the Arizona game because Taylor Wan couldn't block the person in front of him, and Chandler Jones ended up with literally 5 sacks in one game. Last year, Tannehill played great against New York. So, like, I understand what you're saying. I don't mind him coming out there and playing if that's what the Titans feel like they need to do. I just think people really overreact to how much it actually means once the regular season comes around. That's just me.
I think it's fair. A bit of an overreaction, yes. Can it still be beneficial and somewhat important with what all the other teams are doing, getting some reps in some live action? I don't know. I just see that, and it's going to be interesting to see how some of these teams that put their starters out, how they do start. I think this year is kind of like a little bit of a test, and we'll see how it plays out during week one and week two for those teams that decided to do that.
You think Tannehill's in there tomorrow? You think Vrabel gives him the go-ahead?
No.
I don't think so either. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. We'll get his thoughts. Lots of things going on in the NFL right now. Charles Robinson, the best in the business. Looking forward to that coming up next. Make sure you check out the Simmons Bank Open. Pro Golf's coming to Nashville September 14th through 17th with the Simmons Bank Open at the Grove Club. Text in the keyword PAR. That's P-A-R now to 615-737-1025 and enter for a weekend pass for four to enjoy the event in style, including food and drink. Once again, that's PAR to 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
Overtime, moss, mold, and mildew stains cover your home, and cleaning them is too much work.
You need Wet and Forget, the easy bleach-free way to clean tough outdoor stains. For decks, patios, and cushions, use Wet and Forget outdoor spaces. No scrubbing, no rinsing. Just apply and let it do the work for you over time. Got a bigger job? Reach second-story siding and roofs with Outdoor Max. Up to a 30-foot reach and two times the coverage. Get Wet and Forget at Home Depot, Lowe's, and Walmart.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.